Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Hope you can hear me softly spoken as I am. Let's go back here a bit. Oh, sorry, I won't knock the water. It's fine. It's been good morning, yeah?
Yeah.
Good morning. And just when Dave was sharing that, just as an aside, I also felt, you know, I know when I was in my, even as a 18, 20-year-old, you know, you can sometimes think, well, what's Father's Day? You know, I'm not a father. But actually, I just want to encourage any young men here that you can be fathers to little kids because they look up to you as role models. I just want to encourage you that, you know, just even older brothers, just, you know, you are a role model and they look for the way that you do life. I just really, really want to encourage you. That's not what I'm preaching on, but anyway. Okay. I just want to read something from the Bible. It's Romans 4, verses 18 to 21. It's from the New Living Translation. I'm sorry I didn't read it from my Bible because mine's the NIV, but I just found this a really helpful version. Romans 4, 18 to 21. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figures his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in that he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. I just want to read something from Ephesians 1, verse 17 to 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Hopefully this morning you'll see there's some relevance between both passages. This morning I've called, if you like, the sermon, Help Our Unbelief. And hopefully at the end of it, we won't be in unbelief, but we'll be in belief and grow in our faith together. I just love that first passage I read in Romans, and it was something I'd highlighted in my Bible. Abraham's faith never wavered. His faith grew stronger, convinced God will do whatever is promised. And of course, if you don't know, it's in Genesis 18. Abraham has some visitors. God speaks to him and tells him that although he is 100 years old, him and his wife, Sarah, they will have a son. And of course, this is the building of Israel. There will be many nations. And yeah, you must think, I'm 100 years old. I think you may have got it wrong. And yet, Abraham never doubted. He never wavered in his faith, and his faith grew stronger. And this morning, I wonder, Paul wrote that letter in Romans, and I wonder this morning if they could say, Pete, your faith has never weakened. Your faith has never weakened. It's easy to think that once we're believers, of course, that we're immune to unbelief. I mean, you know, surely, I mean, you know, I'm a Christian. How can I not have faith? But I wonder, have you ever felt disappointed by God? Skeptical, angry, frustrated? Heard about what God's doing in other people's lives and thinking, hello, what about me? Hi. And maybe you, like me, have answered, yes, I have doubted. Yes, I have felt like that. But do you know what? I want to be like Abraham, and I want to have faith that has never wavered. I've held a UK license for about 31 years and consider myself a competent driver. I can read the road well. I can anticipate what's going on. I hate being driven, really. I feel like I like to be in control. I'm the person who looks ahead and sees the warnings and think, I know I'll take a shortcut or I'll override the sat-nav. And my wife will tell you that's not always a great choice. But actually, it's about the fact that I believe that I am the best person on the road. I am. It's my car. Me and my car getting some nods there. We're connected. And actually, when I go away on business, I also drive. And I might drive to Edinburgh because actually I can decide what time I leave home. I can decide if I want to stop. I can decide what time I'm going to leave. I don't have to rely on anything. And my boss once said to me, he said, well, why don't you get the train? You can work on the train. I said, do you know what? I think it's because I like to be in control. And actually, the truth of it is that sometimes that becomes our default setting. We like to be in control. And maybe we find it quite difficult to have that unwavering faith in something that actually we don't control. We're talking here not about saving faith. And this morning, we're not talking about that faith that we believe that God's Son died for each one of us, that God so loved us that he sent his Son to die upon a cross, to pay for our sins, and that this morning we know that we are loved sons and daughters. And I just really want to say this morning, if anyone's sitting here and you're thinking, you know, I don't know that I'm a child of God, I don't know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Saviour, please, I want to pray with you at the end of it, because that's really important. Because this morning I just feel God's, when I was writing this, I thought God reminded me to say that, you know, he wants you to know that he loves you. But the faith I'm talking about is that living faith. That faith that makes a difference in the way that we live our life from that day forward. From the moment we say that, Lord, you are my Saviour and my King. But wow, what a challenge. Relying on God, never wavering. I recently read a book by Simon Holley called Sustainable Power. And that really challenged me about recognising why I sometimes do lack faith. And to be fair, I'd sort of never really thought about it. I thought, you know, we have good days, we have bad days. We just go and muddle along. And then I realised that that's just not the model that God wants for us. He doesn't want us muddling along. Actually, what he wants for us, he wants to have that faith that doesn't weaken, never wavers, that grows, that we're convicted that God is able to do, and that we want to have a faith that brings glory to God. So what causes this unbelief? Where does it come from? I mean, does sort of, you know, we suddenly walk along at the checkout till and say, oh yes, baked beans, tin of unbelief, lovely, thank you. Oh, that'll be nice. What's on special offer today? Excellent, I'll have some of that. And I think actually, we don't consciously take it on board. It just creeps in. It creeps in and it sort of perches itself just on our shoulder, on our back. And actually, to be fair, we can get along quite well with it. And I just want to share some things about areas where I identified some underbelief in my life, how I've dealt with it. And these stories may not relate to you, but I think it's much easier if someone at the front is sharing something personal and you can say, oh, I can see that. And you guys are going to have something different. But I want you to just think, do you know what? Maybe there's a bit of unbelief in me. So the three things that really struck me was, first thing, disappointment. Disappointment in God. I don't know, about 25 years ago, I know you all thought I was 30, but no. 25 years ago, probably, I was in a church meeting and somebody was speaking and bringing prophetic words. And I walked out of that meeting and, I don't know, I really felt God was going to speak to me. And actually, we got home, knock on the door, someone came to our house and they said, the guy had this word for you and he didn't see you after the service. And it was from Isaiah 6, which talks about cock coals being taken, and it's about Isaiah being anointed and cock coals being put on your lips. And who will I send? I will send me. And I thought, wow, I'm excited. I don't know what that means, God, but that's really exciting. Ooh, and I did a little bit of preaching, and we went to Kenton Baptist Church, and I did a lot of preaching. I thought, this is really good. I can see this now. It's working. Yeah, me and God, we're on the same wavelength. Brilliant. Oh, it's great, isn't it? You know, when someone brings a word, and you see its fulfillment, and it's brilliant. And while I was at Kenton Baptist Church, there was the opportunity for somebody who said to me, you should think about full-time ministry. I thought, yeah. That would seem really right. I feel that's right. The elders met, church meeting met. They had a vote on it. Should we support Pete in his application to be a Baptist minister? Because you have to vote for these things. So the leaders bring it to the church vote. Now, for the church to be overwhelmingly supporting of something, I promise you, if you've ever come from a Baptist church, it's not always the case, but it was great. That's not saying anything about Baptist churches, by the way. They're wonderful places, really. But it was really encouraging. And so I applied to be a minister, to go to Bible college and become a Baptist minister. And the guy who came with me was an older guy and a real man of God. And he said, you know, this is God's call in your life. And we went for an application. I went for an interview. And I got a letter through the post saying, many thanks. Thank you very much. But we're not proceeding with your application. This guy was really unhappy about this. He said to me, we need to sort this something out. And so he actually put me in touch with a guy called Steve Galt-Roger, who runs a Baptist church, quite charismatic. And I met with him. And, you know, I've never thought about it till I was sharing it this morning. And he said to me, I'll pray about it. He said, and if I feel the Lord speak to me, he said, I'll write a letter on your behalf. He never wrote a letter. He gave me a really good book. I never became a Baptist minister. And actually, I carried that sense of, well, why? I was out there for you, God. I was going to give up a really well-paid job to be a minister. I mean, what does that count for? I mean, that's good, isn't it? What's the problem? Yeah. And then you start to say, well, there must be something really bad in my life. What is it that I've got? Maybe I'm not really a Christian. Have I been deceived? Oh, my word. Maybe there's some really big sin that I don't know about. I need to find something. Okay, what's the sin? Come on, there must be something. And actually, you start to doubt yourself. And you think, wow, do you know what, God? This Isaiah thing, the guy knocks on the wrong door. He didn't even give it. It's a mistake. And we feel hurt. And do you know what? We say, oh, I've got over that. But actually, we haven't. Because we put it in our back pocket. Oh, okay. So sometimes when God speaks, it's not going to happen. He's the God of the universe, but he's probably not got something for me. And we hold that unbelief. And then someone brings something else and says, and we don't really accept it. But you know what? We're not told that actually everything that happens will work out. But what we are told is to push doors, to be faithful, to trust in our Heavenly Father, and to step out in faith. Do you know what? Abraham waited 100 years to be a dad. 100 years. And the problem is that actually our disappointment with God is not that God is disappointing, it's that our expectation, our timing, and God's don't really align. We want everything now. We live in a 24/7 age. You know, the reality is my mum's got a cottage in Derbyshire. And actually, you know, after 8 o'clock, you can't get anything. How ridiculous. If I want to get milk or a tin of beans, I can go anywhere and get the dinner beans. I can even get the papers at 2 o'clock. Nowhere is shut. Tesco's 24/7. And we live in that. I want it now. So let's just work the fact that actually if we've got disappointment, let's be prepared to say, do you know what, God? You know, your word, you speak a better word. I'm going to lay down disappointment this morning. I know what it is, and I'm going to lay it down. You don't need to share it with anybody. Just say, you know what, I've been disappointed by God. I'm going to lay it down, and God's going to set you free this morning from that. He's going to set you free. The second thing is just knowing who we are in God. You know, when we doubt who we are in God, it's really hard, isn't it? How do we trust? Yeah, we've been singing about our Father is a good, good Father. And we're praising God and we're worshipping Him. And the joy of being children. And you might be thinking, I don't really know that. I don't really experience that. And if you don't really trust something and you haven't got that intimacy with it, then it's really difficult. In The Lion King, and I have to tell you, this was just something I was reminded of. In the story of The Lion King, which I love. Have you seen The Lion King? Yeah, we have, okay. And Simba, the baby lion, he's a bit mischievous and whatever. His dad, Mufasa's the king. And Simba goes through a bit of a crisis and gets in with the wrong crowd, sort of gets sort of led away, goes off, does his thing, feels a lot of guilt. Just his life's a mess. And actually, the kingdom goes to rack and ruin. His father dies, and he's not there because he doesn't know who he is. And he has an encounter with Rafiki, the king's wise advisor. And Simba says to him, you know, I don't even know who I am. Do you? And the monkey says, yeah, I know who you are. And Simba says, go on then, tell me who am I? And he says, you're Mufasa's boy. You're Mufasa's boy. Do you know this morning, God wants to say to you, do you know who you are? I know you. You're the son. You're my son. I know you. I know your name. I know your name. I know your name. Caroline, I know your name. I know every hair upon your head. I know everything about you, and I love you. I love you. Don't have to do anything. Just be who you are. And you know what? When we have that sense of knowing who we are in God, how can we not trust our Heavenly Father? My kids trust me. I promise I won't mention my daughter. She'll kill me. But I'm not even looking at her. But actually, my kids trust me. You know, they don't say to me, I don't say, right, today we're going to go and walk off a cliff, kids. Woo! My kids trust me that when we go somewhere, we're going to come back. They trust me that we're going to go to places that are safe. And actually, you know, that's it. Do you know, our Heavenly Father this morning wants to say, you know, I've only got the best of plans for you. I love you. I know you intimately. And this morning, I think there are people here who don't know that love of the Father. And, you know, earthly fathers are rubbish sometimes. They can do it all wrong. Trust me, I think I'm quite a good dad, but my kids will tell you, you got that wrong. So wrong, Dad. They're really good kids at being honest. But you know what? Actually, the picture of our Heavenly Father is so much more. He's a good, good Father. He loves us. He loves us unconditionally. And this morning, I just think, if you don't know that love of the Father, again, let's just this morning, let's have it prayed for. Know Jesus' love for you in your heart. And just as I'm saying that, I just feel that God wants to just say this morning that actually, maybe even you're a Christian and you've given your life to Jesus, but you know, you don't know Jesus in your heart in that really personal, intimate way. And I feel God this morning wants to do business with you and say, do you know what? I want your heart, not your head. The next thing is, and the final thing really, is about skepticism and God's ability to do. And in the story of Genesis 18, Sarah didn't respond like Abraham. Sarah laughed. Ha, 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 have a baby at 100 years old. Do me a favour. And God says, you know, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. Does everything work out? Does God do everything? Does God heal everything? No. Do I know the reason? No. I always want, there's things I want to talk to God about one day when we see him face to face, and I've got a list. But you know what? That's not going to stop me doing the things that I can do now. I've had a real problem with my left knee. I've had it prayed for. And you know what? I even had it prayed and shared that it was healed, and I ran to the front, and it was good. And you know, a week later, it started to hurt again. Am I deluded? No, do you know what? I believe God's doing a healing on my knee. My knee is getting better. Jules prayed for a new knee to be built. I haven't had an x-ray. I never went for it in the first place. So it won't tell me anything anyway. But do you know what? It's about receiving things with faith. Receiving it with faith. You know, Abraham could have said, do me a favour, God. Listen, it's fine. Look, I don't really need this. I'm sort this myself. But he believed that God would fulfill his promises. He was unwavering. I was at a prayer meeting. I was at the prophecy course on Thursday, and Dave shared something about angels. And I'm like thinking, I'd love to see angels. And do I think Dave's wacky? He's just out there, and he's at a different level. But, you know, does that mean that actually we don't believe in angels? No, of course we believe. Angels are biblical. So my faith has to say, do you know what? I'm not going to doubt it. Maybe I need to read about it, and I need to weigh it. But I don't want to dismiss it, because I want to be in the things that of God. I don't want to have doubt. I want to throw out skepticism. I want to be faithful. My grandmother prayed for my grandfather for 40 years before he became a Christian. You know, 40 years. 40 is a long time. It's nearly as long as I've been alive. Oh, no. Sorry. But But for 40 years, and I just say to you, you know, this morning, you know, there might be people that you've been praying for to know Christ, and you might think, I've prayed for it, and it doesn't happen. Maybe God's got a different plan. No, he's still got the same plan. Keep praying. Keep praying, because God loves them. He loves them with every bit of his family. He loves people, and he so wants relationship. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. And you know, there might be things in your life that I don't know about. Situations, circumstances, things that you feel will never change. At New Year, we had an old tradition in our family where you used to open the back door to let the bad out and the old year out, and then open the front door to let the new year in. Sad, isn't it? We still do it, don't we, Hannah? No, it's all right. I mustn't talk about her again. Forgot. And actually, when I was praying this, I was thinking, you know, I think there's a sense of God saying, you know what? That unbelief that's crept in, you need to let it out. But open your back door. And how do you do that? I'm really sorry. There's only one way. You've got to repent for it. You've got to say, I'm sorry. You know, there's no easy way. It's not like you can't negotiate with God. Oh, but because of this, and I can give you 10 reasons why I feel like this. God's sovereign. He's King of Kings. He's the Holy One. And we've got to just say, you know, I'm really sorry I have that attitude. You know, and we need to reveal, to ask God maybe to reveal areas in our lives where we have unbelief. It's like a dam. I loved building dams when I was a kid. I like blocking off the water. It's really exciting. But do you know what? What's more exciting is when you knock away the dam and the water goes with such power. And actually, when we get rid of unbelief, woof, we can see the power of God move in an amazing way. Which is what that other passage was about that I read in Ephesians 1, 7 to 19. Paul wasn't writing that to unbelievers. He was writing it to believers. That the God, that you would have revelation and have the eyes of your heart enlightened. It's about your innermost being, that you would know. And what would you know? What does he want you to know? He wants you to know the immeasurable greatness of God's power, his power, God's power towards us who believe. And what will we do with that amazing power? I think it comes back to Abraham's thing. He was convinced that Abraham was doing what he wanted, but what was he wanting to bring? Glory to God. You know, I want to see God's immeasurable greatness of his power towards us. Simon Holly wrote this quote, which I really loved, and I'm going to read it. The point is that revelation, mixed with belief, or faith if you like, is a dynamic combination that releases the power of God onto the planet. Revelation and power are an explosive combination that will shower our lives with the very power of God. Yeah? You see, when we miss out, when we lack faith, we miss out on the revelation, the faith of God. You know, it's a bit like sitting in a sports car and admiring the interior. Oh, this is lovely. It's got some beautiful gadgets and the radio sounds lovely. But we never turn the engine on. Walking into an amazing mansion, the best house, the most beautiful, beautiful drive. And we walk in and we have a candle and we walk around and we go, oh, it looks quite nice in here. I think this is okay, yeah. It's quite reasonable in here and it's dark and we can only see in the shadows. And we see these little boxes on the side with switches on and we think, oh, no, I don't know what they are. I won't touch that, it's fine. But then as we switch that light on and the room is illuminated, we see the power that surges through the house. It's illuminated, it's bright. We see it clearly for what it is. And do you know what? Sometimes I think we just don't realise the power. You know, God wants to move and change our lives. He wants us to be of people of faith and power. There's a strap line in marketing terms that we use at Trinity here called Jesus speaks a better word. And do you know what? The better word is put aside your unbelief. Repent of it. And know the power of Christ, of God, in your daily lives. Know the Holy Spirit's power in your lives. And actually, we can then do amazing things. Amazing things. This morning, I just feel the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit wants to do business with us this morning. He doesn't want us to be hampered. He doesn't want us to live in this sort of, lukewarmness, yeah. He wants us to be people of outstanding faith. He wants us to be the sort of people this morning that have faith that doesn't weaken, doesn't waver, hold on to the promises of God. He wants us to be people this morning who know the power of God in our lives. And I wonder, how do we show that? What difference does it make to the way that we live our lives? The first thing is, first, we need to repent. Repent of our unbelief. But then I wonder, how do we live our lives? How do we come here in the morning? Do we worship with great expectation? Are we people of faith that come this morning and say, do you know what? What's God going to do this morning? Do we go into work and say, wow, what opportunity is God going to give me? Who am I going to speak to? Who am I going to be able to share something of God's grace and wonder with? I don't know about you, but, you know, I always love that picture of Moses with his face, you know, glowing and it's covered because you don't see. But actually, you know, we have unveiled faces. Our face should shine and be more like Jesus. You know, sometimes when I watch people worship and leading the worship, I look at their face and think, wow, they're in an amazing place. Woof, I want to be there. And it's different for all of us. Don't get me wrong. I'm a wacky loony, eccentric. And Jerry, who I've known for 20-odd years, is never going to respond the way I do. But do you know what? Jerry's heart is on fire, as much on fire for God as anyone else I know. Yeah. And actually, there isn't a one-size-fits-all model, which is amazing. God creates us all differently. Amen. But I tell you what, Jerry didn't know I was going to mention him, so that's good for him. It's that actually, you know, Jerry will go and share his faith in his everyday work as a head teacher. And, you know, and actually, he may not be able to offer to pray with someone. I might find more freedom in that because I'm in business. You know, we're all different. I might be wacky. Woo, praise God. Jerry might be more concerned. It doesn't matter, but that's actually the way that we express that faith and see it working. We want to be people that pray with passion and persistence. You know, I remember when I came a few years ago, I was praying for Mark. Your back. His back didn't get better, but didn't stop me praying for him. I think his son said, oh, that man's hand shaking. Do you know what? It's not for me. I don't heal Mark. God does. All I'm told to be is faithful. And that's all we're told to do. And this morning, I'd love to pay for anyone for healing. You know, because actually, you know, I'm prepared to be available for God and say, here I am. Here I am. You know, and we need to be a church that want to see God move in power. And to do that, we need to be people of extraordinary faith. And do you know what? I was reading in my Bible this morning, because again, I think, oh, it's quite nice. I can be a person of faith, quite safe here, and I feel quite comfortable. But out there, it's not so good. And I was reading about Paul being stoned and left for dead. And I was thinking, oh, that's not so comfortable, is it? Oh, I don't want to go there. I don't think I'd like to go to that. I'd like a nice middle-class church, really. It would be rather nice. Where we could do tea and coffee. It would be rather super. But actually, you know, and I don't know where God calls us to show our faith. But, you know, in all the world. And at the end of the day, we've got to be people who say, do you know what? I want to live for Christ and die for self. And I want to be a real man or woman, young person of faith. And you know what's great with this is that, you know, Abraham didn't have the Holy Spirit, but we have. The Holy Spirit who lives in us, who convicts us, who dwells in us, who enables us to do. You know, Jesus says, you know, even with faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to move and it'll move. Woo, I'd love to move a mountain. And do you know what? We can. We can. And it's not about the wacky and the sensationalism. It's about saying, do you know what, God? I want to do whatever it is you want me to do. Whether that's going to see a friend and having a cup of coffee and praying for them, or for their family, or being involved in CAP, or helping with a homeless shelter, or working at a university, whatever it is. It's about being real and wearing our faith on our sleeve, being genuine. Being genuine. You know, today is Father's Day, and our Father this morning, what do we want to do? We want to bring glory to our Father. That's what it's all about, bringing glory to God. And this morning, I just think we really need to encounter God in a fresh way. And it starts with us saying, I'm going to throw off unbelief. I'm going to throw off unbelief. And I just really like us to have a time of ministry. And I'm going to ask for Duncan and Dave to be involved in this as they feel led. But I just really feel that this morning we just need to respond to what God's been saying. I really feel these are words that have been laid in my heart this morning by God. And, you know, it's about faith, isn't it, really? It's much easier for me to say thank you very much and sit down. But I'm prepared to take a risk. Are you? Yeah? Can we stand? Okay. This morning, I just really, really feel that God this morning wants to just deal with some disappointment in your lives. I think there's some people here who need to know what their identity in Christ, in God. I think there's some people who need their hearts just to be touched afresh. And I think there are some people here who really need to get rid of doubt. We're not asked to understand it. We're just asked to believe it. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000, I'm sure the disciples must have thought, this is unbelievable. But they faithfully gave out the bread. And they had 12 baskets left over. Woo! And this morning, I just feel God wants to speak to each one of us to say, take away that unbelief. But he wants to transform us. And he wants to fill us with his Spirit. That we move in power. That we can do incredible things. So can I just ask us just to hold out our hands? I'm just going to pray and then I'm just going to see what God wants to do. Father God, you are a good, good God. Oh, you are such a good God. Oh, Father God. And I just pray that this morning you would reveal to us in our hearts those areas of unbelief, those areas where, Lord, we know that we're holding something back. And I pray that we would just lay it at the foot of the cross. But Father God, your Son, Jesus Christ, paid for it all. Lord, we don't have to have fear or worrying. Lord, we trust in you completely. We just lay it down and say, oh God, fill that space with your Spirit. And this morning, I just pray that those people's hearts will be just touched, that they know the love of the Father. This morning, people just to say that, but you know what? I don't understand it, but I'm going to step out of the boat. Fix my eyes on Jesus. I want to be a water walker. I don't know how I'm doing it, but I don't care. I want everything that you've got for me. I want to move in your power, not for my glory, but for your glory. Why? Because I want to see your kingdom come and your will be done. Oh, Lord. Open ourselves, just wait on God. I'm just going to be really quiet now, and let's just wait on God. Amen.